The Economic Development Budget Division for Wednesday, February 21st will come to order. Senator Kubley, welcome to the committee. Senator Kubley's got some people from pretty far away, and he promised not to take too long, so we'll take him first.
I'm having trouble hearing you with the door open, Mr. Chair.
Who's got it? Shut the door.
Crack the whip cap.
Broke?
Hey, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
You know, whenever we think we got this process figured out, somebody throws a monkey wrench into it. Keep that door closed. Senator Kubley, I said you got some people from far away, and so we're going to take yours first, and hopefully you can get through it in a hurry.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, okay. Senate File 881 is a binding proposal that originates with the city of Bird Island. You know, and it's for the Tim Orth Memorial Victory Center that we hope to be located there. With me today is Val Service, who has some testimony that she would like to offer, and also Bill Neubauer, who is the chair of the center's board. I also, the folks seated over here on my right, Mr. Chair and members, well, Don and Ann Orth are the parents of the young man who died and in whose name this center would be built. And then Janelle is Bill's spouse and also the vice chair of the committee. Is that correct, Janelle? And then Gene Winstrom is a renegade from out in our area. You know Gene. And then Randy Kramer down here who's been helping them out. And Randy was just elected to the Bowser Board, so that's a good thing, too. But anyway, I think I'll let Val talk to the committee, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Neubauer, are you? Do you have any Neubauer relatives up in Chisholm?
No, Mr. Chair, I don't. Oh. We pronounce it Neubauer in Bird Island, and in other countries is Neubauer and Neubauer. It's little everything. So,
my brother-in-law's name is Neubauer. That's
really?
What I'm asking. So you might pronounce it wrong. Who wants to go first?
Well, you know, Mr. Chair, we do have a handout here too. Okay. If we could get some assistance on that, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
I
am Val Service. And honorable senators, I am extremely excited to be here today to have this opportunity to tell you about the Tim Orth Memorial Foundation. We are a foundation that was started. We had a young man named Tim Orth in 1996. He was a junior high school athlete at Bold High School, and he was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. As community members, many of us wanted to show support for the situation and for the family. Bill was actually one of Tim's basketball coaches and began organizing a benefit to help them not only with financial support but community support as they made their journey through the struggle. A benefit featuring basketball entertainment was held with a raffle and a silent auction, and we raised $18,000 to help Tim and his family for the medical expenses that they incurred. The first benefit was such a success that the community members decided to form what we call the Tim Orth Memorial Foundation. We are a nonprofit organization, and we've been established to continue to help families with medical expenses resulting from accident or serious injury from our part of Minnesota. To date, our foundation has raised about $1 million, and we've helped to benefit hundreds of children. And the area that we've helped includes the likes of Glencoe, Hutchinson, Sleepy Eye, Springfield, Morgan, Lamberton, and Wilmer, children from all of our area, with expenses, things ranging from hearing aids and wheelchairs to children with diseases we can't even pronounce. We have a young man who has no limbs from a virus he received as a perfectly healthy infant. We've had brain injuries, heart transplants. We are there to support them financially as well as emotionally on their journey. how the Tim Orth Foundation works. We are a total volunteer foundation. We have a committee that stays visible all year long in our communities and the surrounding communities to support our commitment to children. Our main fundraising event takes place in March, and we have top female and male high school seniors from the West Central Minnesota Conference compete in one of the most entertaining youth basketball games that you will ever see. They team up as individuals to form new teams to help children who cannot play basketball, help them with their medical expenses. We have guest appearances from professional athletes as well as professional team mascots, the likes of the Cleveland Cavalier, Orlando Magic, Washington Wizards, Minnesota Timberwolves, Utah Jazz, the Dallas Mavericks, the Alaskan Skeeter, and to name just a few. We've also been told many times they call us and say, can we come back? We believe in what you do, and we want to continue to be a part of who you are. We also have many professional athletes and college teams who donate items, signed autographed items for us as a means to make our monies. We draw in a crowd that now overcapacitates the facility we have available, which is one of the reasons we're here today. We are asking that as part of Tim's legacy, he lost his battle with his tumor on February 14, 1997, and it's that legacy, that fight, and that inspiration that calls us to continue to be an ongoing and an amazing victory for others. We have been taught by him to be motivated to become better people, to create with our best abilities, to hope for the lives of other children who are faced with challenges from accident or illness. The Victory Center, which is what we come to you today to ask funding for, is a place where we hope to turn small steps into major victories. The Victory Center would be a place where winning combinations of ordinary people gather to make extraordinary changes, in a place where even the smallest of miracles would never go unnoticed. It would be a place to celebrate and to share and to create small victory in the lives of children whose battles go on long after the lights go down. The Victory Center, we hope, would be a place where you want to be, a feeling you won't forget when you're there, and something that you'd be happy to be a part of. Why do we need the facility? We need the facility because the attendance at our fundraising events continues to grow, which is a very good problem to have. We are also receiving continuous support and involvement from high-profile entertainment, sponsors, professional and college athletes, as well as professional team mascots from all across the country. We have successfully outgrown our facility. This is an opportunity for our foundation, along with the help of other people like you, to climb just one rung higher on the ladder, and we hope that we can do so. It's a place where those that can run and play have a place to do so, ultimately helping those who cannot do so. We want to celebrate all of the minor victories and turn them into major hope. We believe that our dream will impact our community. The vision of the Tim Orth Foundation is very simple. We want to build a facility called the Tim Orth Memorial Victory Center that allows us to continue to make a difference in the lives of injured and ill children on as broad a spectrum as possible. Our envision would include a state-of-the-art facility that would accommodate no less than 2,500 people that would help us to have our main fundraising events there. The space would also allow us the freedom and the ability to host other events that would help us to raise even more money than we're able to raise now. Our goal would be to have a facility that would have the capability of having weight training facilities and equipment present in the area where some of the injured children could do therapies on a continuing basis once they have gone through their regular therapies. We also would like to have this facility equipped with locker rooms, storage areas, and concession areas. We also envision a common denominator to build community as not just Bird Island community, but community of the entire region of southwest central Minnesota. We envision a state-of-the-art facility that would include staging and lighting, video system that would allow us on a broad spectrum be able to introduce fine arts into our community events, including theater, concerts, and conference meetings. We envision the Victory Center as a place to also accommodate scheduling conflicts for area schools that are running out of facilities to host the events that they hold. The facility will have a potential to be used as a common community recreational center, such as indoor walking. It will be a definite place for all of us to celebrate life. We hope that this dream becomes reality, because to us, the dream is much bigger than a building. It's a way for us to not only build hope in the families of those who are experiencing these difficulties and these challenges with their children, but also a venue for which we can grow our rural communities, a place where we can bring in conferences, where we can bring in entertainment and expose on a local level some of the opportunities that are really difficult and limited basis for us. We propose that we'd like to explore the possibility of using alternative energies in these projects as being an innovative, not only for the building project itself, but the way that we manage the project. We thank you for your time in listening to our presentation, and we would like to extend a personal invitation to each of you to attend our benefit March 31st. The doors open at 5. We promise you that we'll take your $6 at the door. We would love to pass it on to children, and that you will have an awesome night of entertainment that you will never, ever forget or that can be matched anywhere. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Mr. Neubauer, do you have something to add?
Well, I also have some videos here, and I talked to Senator Kubley about maybe leaving these here. If you guys would like to ever see what we do, we kind of made a video of what we do, of some of the children we've helped, some of the entertainment we've had. We get a lot of support from people down here in this, that you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Minnesota Twins, the Minnesota Vikings. You know, they come down and they do things for us, and we've had Vikings players, Twins players, you know. And so we get a large area of people in the state of Minnesota to come together as one, and it's just a great event, you know, and we want to just continue to keep growing. That's why we're here today.
Senator Kubley, there's a blank appropriation here. Do you have an idea what that number is going to be, or do you want to leave it that way until it gets to the bonding committee?
Ms. Chair and members, I think we'll leave it that way until we get to the bonding committee. We don't have a firm figure yet. We can't have, you know, a range of numbers, so I don't know. I mean, it's the total proposal will probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 million. I don't know for sure.
And just for the committee's understanding, it looks like these will be matching funds. They'll be raising funds from somewhere else in order to.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like from your testimony that it's something that you want to be of regional significance. It's not just for.
I think it is, Mr. Chair. I think as Ms. Service mentioned in her testimony, if you could come there, I mean, you can almost feel the electricity from the crowd in the place. It's really quite an experience just to walk around there. I mean, the people are so upbeat and so excited about what they're able to do in a cooperative spirit that I think it really is a very unique experience, Mr. Chair. It's something you don't often see anywhere. I suppose it's something like a victory party for the chair's campaign election.
Oh, don't go there.
We may have to talk.
Now it clears it up.
Senator Kubley, council tells me that maybe after on line 1.9, after Victory Center, before the period, that we should insert servicing West Central Minnesota.
That would be fine, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Here's what we'll do. We don't have a quorum to act on it yet, but if you don't mind, after we lay this aside, we will insert that phrase, and then what we'll do is we'll lay this over for recommendation to the bonding committee, which is a what we do with bonding proceed requests in this committee. So is there any other comments anybody needs? It sounds like a very outstanding organization. You've really done a wonderful job of, I mean, the list of accomplishments here is very, very impressive, and I'm hoping we can figure something out here. So, okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and my apologies to Senator Lynch for taking her spot here.
Not, that's okay, because she's not ready anyway.
She's not ready?
That's okay.
Now, Senator Lynch, before you get up there, come here. Senator Lynch, why don't we get started, just in case we get a quorum here while we're waiting.
Right. Chairman Tomasoni and members, it's a pleasure to join your committee today. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about the University of Minnesota and Mayo Foundation Biotechnology and Medical Genomics Research Partnership. Simply put, we're here today to talk about jobs and cures. Today you'll hear detail of the partnership, and you'll see that this investment produces powerful research to improve life and stimulate Minnesota's economy. Senate File 176 provides $15 million recurring funding to support Minnesota's long-term commitment to this powerful economic engine. Senate File 176 really embodies the very elements that provide for strong economic development policy in today's global economy. Innovation, collaboration, investment in infrastructure, and cultivation of talent. It's a real privilege to bring such a strong project to this committee. I'm joined today by Dr. Eric Wieben from the Mayo Clinic, Dr. Mark Paller from the University of Minnesota. And they will share further with you detail and successes of this partnership. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Senator Lynch. Scoot you over.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'm Dr. Eric Wieben. I'm the director of the Genomics Research Center at the Mayo Clinic and the Mayo Project Leader for the Minnesota Partnership. And I'm here today to begin a presentation, a brief presentation to the committee, to tell you a little bit about what our concept is, what we have been doing, and what we hope to be doing in the future. And the basic message is we want to bring together the expertise of two of Minnesota's leaders to benefit of all Minnesotans. The concept of a partnership between Mayo and the University of Minnesota
the quorum is present. Okay.
The concept became a reality in 2003 with the recognition that there was a real opportunity in the biosciences, and yet no institution, neither Mayo nor the University of Minnesota or other institutions, could meet this challenge alone. But there were real strengths at Mayo and the University of Minnesota, and those strengths were complementary, not exactly identical. And there was some support from the state. There was great potential to really come together and make these two institutions work cooperatively to do some great things in the biosciences. This strong foundation in Minnesota is bolstered by the fact that both institutions have made sizable investments in the biosciences over the last 10 years, which we conservatively estimate to be over $800 million, and by more than 50 years of experience and commitment to the bioscience industry, beginning with the medical device industry. And again, just emphasizing that our strengths at the two institutions are not identical, but they really do complement each other nicely to give us more than we could be either institution alone.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Mark Paller. I'm the Assistant Vice President for Research at the University of Minnesota and co-director of the partnership. We set for the partnership the goals of developing treatments for common diseases and illness to enhance the technology that we could share amongst the institutions rather than duplicating technology, to recruit top scientists to Minnesota at the two institutions, and importantly, to speed research discoveries to patients so that they'd be actual useful treatments, diagnostic tests, and cures. Importantly, as part of that, we see this as a benefit to Minnesota's economy. First and foremost, we've already succeeded in increasing the number of NIH dollars that come to Minnesota because of partnership teams. These research projects create quality jobs, and any companies that develop out of this technology will certainly develop quality jobs. All of these activities expand the tax base, and again, developing a cluster of research expertise helps to stimulate businesses around them. And not unimportant is that this helps to maintain Minnesota in its premier status as a destination for health care. As you may know, we started out with a demonstration project several years ago in 2004. The state generously funded the partnership with a $2 million allocation, and each of our institutions contributed an additional $1 million. So we had $4 million. And with that, we funded four major research projects, one in diabetes, one in Alzheimer's disease, one in cancer, and one in cardiovascular disease. Last biennium, we received not only a bonding support for a research building in Rochester, which Eric will talk about, but we also received a $15 million appropriation in 2005. And then we came back last year to see if we could get the full fulfillment of the goal of an additional $15 million, and we did. And with that, we've continued to fund major research projects that could not be done at either institution alone. We've invested in infrastructure that is shared between the two institutions, and we've just begun a very exciting phase of doing some joint recruitments of high-profile faculty who will enhance the capabilities of our two institutions. We're here now to ask you to continue to support the partnership, not only this year, but well beyond that. In addition, it's important to note that beyond doing this very important research and very successful research that we've done, there have been a number of other important outcomes of the Mayo Clinic and the University of Minnesota working together so closely, which we really hadn't envisioned, and it's really been a major benefit and very fulfilling for all of us. We've jointly opened a joint office of business development in Minneapolis so that venture capitalists and businesses who want access to technology from our institutions and our joint technology can get it in one place. It's difficult enough to get people from California and the East Coast to even come to Minnesota to talk about business ventures, but at least now we've made it easy that they can talk to both of us, one visit, one stop, one place. We've developed other collaborations, even those that haven't been directly funded by these funds. The partnership has partnered with the Biobusiness Alliance in Minnesota, with IBM, with the Hormel Institute, and with other economic development organizations throughout Minnesota to help them with their goals, which are also our goals. Last fall, we jointly sponsored a clinical research conference in Minneapolis that was attended by 550 people. We're going to do that again this October, again, a joint activity that has some national prominence. And we continue to be represented and to be active on the national scene as a partnership of the two institutions.
Well, as Dr. Paller mentioned, on the Mayo campus, one of the tangible set pieces for the partnership has been the addition of three floors to our Stabile building. This was the artist's conception at the time we talked about having this building made. This was as construction was nearing its end. This facility is now occupied as of late last year, and we are up and running. It gives us room to expand some of our shared facilities that are available to investigators at both institutions. It's optimizing interactions between the two institutions. And as Dr. Peller alluded to, again, it's being used as something that will help us attract top-quality talent to the state. So what else have we done with the state funding that we've received so far? Well, actually, our progress has been fairly remarkable. From that first round of funding, which involved only $2 million in state funds and $4 million total, including the million from Mayo and a million from the University of Minnesota, we've had 44 high-profile research publications, 3 patent applications, and as Dr. Peller mentioned, several NIH grants, including one recently funded for $8 million, or 4 times the initial state investment. The second round of research funding, which began in last year, stimulated more than $70 million in requests for the $15 million we had available. And it exemplifies the level of interest and talent that we're attracting to partnership ideas. And we're putting that money to good use, as Dr. Peller mentioned, funding more projects, funding the acquisition of some of the high-tech tools that it takes to do this type of research, some commercialization activities, and we're just beginning to initiate this recruiting activity. Of course, Minnesota is not the only state that's seen some opportunity in the biosciences. I'm not going to go through this in great detail. The latest Battelle report lists 42 states now that have bioscience initiatives. Some of those are highlighted here with the orange dots. And some of the big numbers that are being talked about in this regard are shown here, including $510 million to move a Scripps clinic to the East Coast to match the one on the West Coast, a $3 billion stem cell initiative from California, and $750 million proposal in Wisconsin. Another one that's of note is the $2.5 billion request by Mark Udoff when he went to the University of Texas system and initiated this strong request for building their bioscience activities. So by those standards, our requests are fairly modest, but we think we can succeed anyway because of our prior investments and the great amount of talent that already exists here within the state.
We certainly have proven the concept, and it's really time to go beyond proof of concept. What we would hope for in terms of state investment is a long-term commitment to the ongoing success of the partnership in terms of $15 million a year recurring. This will be used for additional targeted research projects, for additional infrastructure to commercialize the initial discoveries, and importantly, to recruit additional scientists so that this we really develop a critical mass and a stable success for the partnership. In order to really achieve those longer-term goals, we need to be able to plan. In order to develop these teams, it takes more than a couple months' notice that there may or may not be additional funds available to fund this research. It would really be ideal to be able to have some long-term planning. Certainly, in terms of competition, all those other states have longer-term commitments to their bioscience investments, and we really are in a national market when it comes to retaining our scientists or recruiting new faculty scientists. And so it really makes it difficult if we say the state has been very generous this year, but we don't know what's going to happen, and every year we have to guess. Obviously, we have to demonstrate. We're not asking for anything that doesn't require us to prove every single day and every single year that we're using the money wisely, but we certainly need, if we're going to be competitive, to have a little longer term planning ability. Recruitment clearly requires that. When we bring new faculty here, we need to make a multi-year commitment. And in order to do that, we can't even begin a search if we're planning to use state money until we really know that we're going to have that. So we either have to bank it, which we don't want to do, and then not spend it for a few years until we have enough, or have some ability to do long-term planning. And the infrastructure, the state's been very generous. We've funded some great research, and we've purchased some new equipment that's been really useful. But The equipment becomes outdated very rapidly, and in addition, we need to maintain the equipment we have. So even service contracts, a service contract for $1 million piece of equipment may be $100,000 or $200,000 a year, and so it's not a trivial expense in order to maintain what we've already developed. So we really want to ask, what's next for Minnesota? We do have top-level science, and we're able to continue and augment that. We are world-class, and we have world-class potential to be even better. We certainly have the momentum, and we certainly have the interest, not only our own interest, but I believe it's fair to say we have your interest, we have the interest of the community, we have the interest of the private sector. And so the real question is, where does Minnesota want to go in this domain?
Doctors or Senator Lynch, whoever wants to discuss. Governor's got a recommendation in his bill of $250,000 for something called the University Enterprise Laboratories over on the Highway 280 here, and it's kind of like an incubator for a lot of the same kind of stuff that do you foresee yourself cooperating with people that are doing that kind of stuff? Is this strictly a Rochester venture, or is this something that you'd be reaching out to different areas to see if you can find different types of labs and experiments going on?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, UEL is actually where our joint offices of business development are located, so we see the synergy. UEL is the next step. So when new technologies are formed into new companies and they need a place to incubate as a company, so when they've left the Mayo Clinic and or the university, they need a place to work. This is clearly going to be a place where we would hope our technologies would grow and develop it. So it's the next step beyond what the partnership is directly doing, but we definitely support it and are interactive with it.
And Mr. Chair, I'd like to clarify that although the bonding appropriation was focused on the addition of new space on the Mayo campus in Rochester, some of our other major infrastructure investments have been on the University of Minnesota campus, and all these facilities are open to researchers from both institutions. And in fact, for funding projects, we have a requirement that each project have a principal investigator from Mayo working with a principal investigator from the University of Minnesota to do something that really can't be done on either campus alone. So these have to be joint, real research projects where people are working together. So that's one of our core principles.
I don't mean to interrupt here, but Senator Quigley has a dignitary in the room that he needs to introduce here.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Junkie's mother is here, and I just thought we'd introduce her to the committee.
Stand up, ma'am.
Stand up.
Let's hear it for her. Hello, Mrs. Junkie. Welcome to the room.
You wonder how somebody that small could... Well, they're just wondering how somebody as small as you are could have a son the size of Representative Johnson.
Okay. Senator Lynch, did you have anything to add?
I have nothing to add. We're happy to entertain additional questions or comments.
Senator Quigley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Lynch, is this what Senator Lanxess was talking about, that this would be included in the bonding bill as a cash piece of that, or is that not what he was referring to there?
What's before you is recurring money. It's not what Senator Lanxess might have been referring to.
Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair, this might help Senator Quigley. I have the A1 amendment.
We get the A1 amendment passed out. Senator Sparks, you want to explain it while you're...
Sure, I'll try, and if I can't, maybe counsel can help me. Basically, what this would do, Mr. Chair, instead of having two separate appropriations in fiscal year 2008 and 2009, it would be a one-time appropriation of $38 million. Also, to the amendment, Mr. Chair, if I could make an oral amendment, I'll wait till members get it. But that would be on line 1.13, strike June 30th, 2009, and insert the word expended.
And you just want to incorporate that, right?
If I can incorporate that into the amendment, yes, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, expended.
And counsel can help me if there's more to it, but I think that kind of explains the amendment.
Mr. Chair, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Senator Lynch, have you seen this amendment?
I have the amendment in front of me.
My understanding is that this is the number that's also in the governor's budget for this project, and that it's this amendment makes it consistent with what the governor has recommended.
That is correct, Senator Tomasoni.
Is there any discussion on this amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, is it my understanding then that this would be part of the bonding bill?
This, Senator Kubi, this will be one-time money, so it'll be cash.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand that, Mr. Chair, but there's always projects in the bonding bill that are paid for out of the general fund.
Senator Cooley, the motion here would be to move it to the Finance Committee, and I think it would end up being similar to what just happened with the deck and the St. Cloud Arena.
And Senator Tomasoni, if I may,
Senator Lynch,
probably pertinent to point out that this is more operational than capital.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Thank you.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, and I don't know if Senator Sparks or Senator Lynch, someone could answer the question. This change, the $15 million would have been part of the base, and it would have been $30 million because it was $15 million. So why the increase, and then it won't be part of the base? What's the reasoning behind changing it like that? I guess I'm just wondering if there's a...
Senator Sparks, do you want me to handle that? Or you?
I think, Mr. Chair, that you kind of touched on, I believe that that number was the one that the governor had in his proposal.
It makes it consistent.
And Mr. Chair, I appreciate the that you guys are following the governor's lead on this, but but I guess it won't be part of the base. I mean, I'm wondering maybe why he put it that way. I guess I'm not familiar with.
I don't know. My gut feeling on this whole thing is that because we have some one-time money that we know is actually there.
Okay.
And so that we can actually get this done. So, I mean, I think that would be probably the best way to look at it. Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, in looking at this amendment, I can certainly say that I have a good understanding of the true financial picture that we're all facing. And while I think that the presentation and the dialogue to this point has made a very strong case that supports good public policy, that supports a phenomenal economic tool for this state, I feel every confidence that my colleagues from both entities would consider this a positive amendment.
Well, anytime you can get $38 million. Senator Dibble.
to that, Mr. Chair, you know, I would say that, you know, I think that we would seek to continue to work to support the work of this partnership ongoing.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Certainly no one's going to sneeze at $38 million, and I'm sure my constituent, Dr. Paller, is not going to. But, you know, it does mean, though, that, you know, and to your point, yeah, I mean, this $38 million one time, probably, you know, it's money that's there, probably a lower threshold than getting $15 million every year added to the agency's base. It does mean, though, that they will have to come back at some point and tell the story again, although it hasn't been an overly difficult sale here at the legislature, and I think, you know, they did a nice job today of showing that it's time to take this thing live and get past the initial stages. So I'm hoping that perhaps next time around, in a couple of years, perhaps we can move ourselves towards finding some money in the base to support this, you know, making the serious, long-term, ongoing commitment to this effort, because I think the results are proving themselves.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. And then just so everybody understands, this is the second part of a $70 million appropriation. They actually got $32 million before this, so the $38 million that this would end up finishing off a commitment of $70 million to these projects. So it's kind of finishing up for now, and then we'll see what happens later on. It doesn't prohibit them from coming back and asking for more. So any other comments? Seeing none, Senator Sparks moves to delete everything amendment A1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted. With that, Senator Sparks then moves that Senate file number 161 as amended be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, it's Senate file 176.
What did I say?
61.
Did I do the dyslexic thing?
I want to make sure you're with me, Senator.
I was wondering why you were interrupting me when I was about to say.
With all due respect, Mr.
That
Chair.
Senate file number 176 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Any further discussion? Yeah. Okay, let me start over. Senator Sparks. Moves that Senate file 176 as amended be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion is adopted. Let's go back to Senator Kubley's bill now that we have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair members.
Thank you very much. Okay, Senator Kubley moves it on Senate file number 881 on line 1.9 after center and before period to insert servicing West Central Minnesota. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Senator Sparks.
Okay. Senator Sinjum, Senate file 549.
Thank you, Senator Sparks and members. It's a pleasure to be here today to talk one more year about the National Volleyball Center in Rochester and to seek your support. I was not here in 2002. This was, though, part of legislative action that year. I believe it did well in the Senate, and for those of you who might have been in the House, legend has it that Representative Bishop, in his desire to expound on the floor, did a little too much talking and not enough advocating, at least procedurally, for the bill, and talked it right past midnight, and we didn't get the bill. So we come back in 2004. It's in the Senate bill. In the end, as we're trying to meet some spending limitations, at least with respect to the bill, it didn't make, if you will, the final cut. Last year, once again, it was in the final bill, and it was in again, out again in conference committee, but in the final analysis, it was out again. I became involved, Mr. Chair and members, with this project as a city council member back in Rochester, I think 7 or 8 years ago, might have been 9 by now, but we did initially get a portion of the requested money back in the late 90s, and we did then subsequently go forward and build a National Volleyball Center. And for those of you that may not know, and my colleagues may be able to talk in greater length about this, but this is one of the Rudy Perpich legacy projects, in the sense that, if you might remember, Governor Perpich had a dream, if you will, to place sports venues across Minnesota and to really make Minnesota a sports state. And there are many like projects that were part of his menu that were put together during that time. This is one of them. Again, we initially went into construction in the late 90s with a very pared-down bonding allocation that we did get, but as a city council member, we decided at the time to go forward with it and supplement the state money with local money. We were able to build a building, but in the end of the day, and while it's functioned well over the course of several years now, we've all realized almost from the start that it has grave inadequacies with respect to many aspects of the facility. Rochester, as will be pointed out, is a strong youth sports city. We approach youth sports almost as a tourism venue, and we've been very, very successful with it. The a point to be made, I think, with this project. It's certainly well beyond just another volleyball court for the city of Rochester. This is a tourist attraction. This does bring people to our community from all over the Midwest. And for that matter, you'll hear from, in some cases, all over the world. So with that introduction, brief it may be, I'll turn the microphones over to either Paul Erickson from the National Amateur Sports Committee and Chubb Stewart from Rochester, who is a member of that committee.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, Paul Erickson, Executive Director of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. As Senator Senjum mentioned, the National Volleyball Center in Rochester is part of 10 facilities that you as a legislature have funded since 1987. It's part of the state's network of facilities that were designed to a standard worthy to attract an out-of-state visitor. They were not built just for increased local recreation, though they do support local recreation as well. If you turn to page 6 in the proposal, I just want to draw your attention. Many times you legislators are asked to fix problems of the past, a project that was funded and it didn't work out and you've got to fix it with additional dollars. This project I would characterize is that you're investing in success. The first phase that was funded in 1998 built a national class volleyball center. It needs the completion phase to really realize its mission. But if you look, that starting in 98 to 05 and 06, approaching $7 million a year of economic impact, bringing dollars from Iowa, Wisconsin, the Dakotas into Minnesota. This is the finest volleyball center in the region. Chubb Stewart, the vice chair of the Amateur Sports Commission, will go over some of the accolades of events and designations. But I would just like to conclude by saying again, this is part of the state's formal 10-facility system. It has been successful, and the completion phase will just add to that success. So you have a record of the success before you, and then Chubb Stewart, vice chair of the Amateur Sports Commission, can highlight some of the specific accomplishments of the facility.
Thank you. Before that, Mr. Erickson, Senator Cohen, I believe, has a question.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Erickson, I don't know if it's directed to yourself. Let me ask about the comment that this has generated $9 million economic impact. You know, one of the problems we have here, this is not just with this proposal, but we have these kinds of figures thrown around, and it almost seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that we should set up a state office of economic impact. What's the methodology that leads to this conclusion?
Mr. Erickson?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Senator Cohen, we're pleased to report to you that amateur sporting events produced empirical data that, if use an example, if you have the Hopkins Strawberry Festival and it has 10,000 people, there's no record of who's there and where they come from. But if we hold a youth soccer tournament in Blaine that has 16,000 kids, they're all registered. And so that we know that half of them are from out of state, half from in state, and then we use accepted spending numbers that an amateur sports family will spend X dollars per day, so that when we put an economic impact report to you, it is based on empirical data, and our numbers have been confirmed by the Department of Tourism and by the University of Minnesota, some of the economic impact people. And if you ever want the time, we can present to you the background data and source data when we put a report together on an event. But the good news is, like, even if you measure economic impact of the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul, they don't have the data on where those people come from who bought a ticket to a concert. But when we have a major amateur sporting event, we know there were four teams from Des Moines. There were five teams from Madison, Wisconsin. There were three teams from Albert Lea. And then you know in amateur sports that there is approximately 20 players per every soccer team. And we know by our studies that pretty much 2.1 family members accompany every kid to an event, and then we run the numbers off that. So the good news is, for you and the committee, when you get a number from the Amateur Sports Commission or one of our affiliate facilities, we have empirical data to base the economic impact models.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
My comment maybe isn't directed so much, Mr. Erickson, to yourself, and I'm not necessarily disputing what you suggest, but in this division, over the years I've served on it, we keep on hearing the position that, you know, my proposal has just a huge impact in terms of economic development. And whether it be Minnesota Twins, Guthrie Theater, various amateur sports commission activities, I mean, just the gamut. And I wish there was a way to have a uniform methodology so that if, you know, we're going to make determinations based upon those positions to some extent, that we'd have, you know, some, again, some uniform methodology. And again, that's not a criticism directed toward yourself, because I think what you suggest makes some sense. But it's a general comment that, you know, I keep on hearing it, and maybe someday we'll actually understand it.
We'd be happy to participate in a common formula, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Chairman, maybe Mr. Stewart's going to answer this question. There is, in terms of the economic impact, there is a discussion of a mention of the 5,000 hotel-motel rooms are available during weekends. Any sense in how much separate, as you suggested, you can tell by the number of participants where people are coming from and so on. Any sense of what the hotel-motel usage is for the activity?
Mr. Erickson?
Yeah, again, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, we can track hotel usage by an amateur sport event because often there are we ask the data from the teams where they're staying so we have a local place to contact them. And in many cases, these events get commissions from the hotels on how many rooms that are booked, like the National Sports Center in Blaine with the North Metro. So I can't remember what the number. I think you have a definitive number in Rochester that all amateur sport activity in Rochester produces 26,000 rooms a year. And so
that's my question.
Yeah.
If you have a ballpark figure that, or an estimate.
I'll defer
Mr. Stewart. Stewart.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, we have an amateur sports commission in Rochester that schedules events in not just for the volleyball center, but for a myriad of sporting events that would not exist if Governor Perpich back in 87 hadn't had the vision to create the amateur sports commission. And we modeled our program after the state program. And as a result of that, we track very closely the hotel rooms that we bring into Rochester. We have 5,200 hotel rooms, motel rooms in Rochester that we need to fill on weekends because the health industry has changed, as you well know, and we don't have people staying over like we used to. We are projecting this year, based on the events that we have scheduled, 28 events for Rochester, major events, that we have 26,000 hotel rooms over and above what would be coming into Rochester to Mayo, over and above what the youth sports organizations that were existing before we came into power there. We now calculate very closely what we bring in as a net difference, and it will be in the 26,000-27,000 range for 2007. I apologize for the handout, ladies and gentlemen. It says 2006 on it, and this is a document that we used last year when we came before the legislative bodies and asked for funding to complete the National Volleyball Center. In 87, after the legislation was passed, by 1989, a study commission had gone forward and had recommended various communities throughout the state of Minnesota to pick up and sponsor a National Olympic Training Center. That was the heart and core of the legislation that passed. And the legislation further expected that throughout the state of Minnesota, where there was certain economies and certain assets available, that various communities would pick up a piece of the proposal. Rochester was asked if we would take the volleyball program, and we stepped up the plate in 1989 and said, yes, we would. The legislation specifies that you must go before the national governing body of an Olympic sport and get their input as to what a national training center must have in terms of features. And in the booklet here, there's a statement from the legislation and from Governor Perpich that you can see that specifies that we were required as a result of the funding we received to meet with the national governing bodies. We did that. We met many times with the National Olympic people and the National Volleyball people and designed a facility consistent with the state of Minnesota legislation. We came forward with a request in 1994 for $7.3 million to build a facility, of which we asked the state for $5 million, Rochester to propose a $2.3 million. We got funded but it was cut in half. We got $2.3 million from the state and $2.3 million matching in-kind and cash from Rochester. Because we were cut back substantially from the design that we had worked on for a number of years, we had to significantly reduce many of the amenities in there that made it a true national sports center. For instance, there are no locker rooms there. We bring in teams not just from all over the United States, but from all over the world that we have teams come in there that train. They come there. Sometimes they've had to change their clothing in the parking lot. They go into the bathrooms, which are way undersized. We do not have a referee's room. We do not have a coach's room. We do not have a physical training facility for the athletes. We do not have a room where we can take athletes that get injured during the course of the competition. We always have sprained legs, sprained ankles. We have Mayo interns there to treat them. We don't have a facility for that. We do it in the back of the office that we have in the building. We do not have a competition facility for international competition, which was a part of the original intent. So we ended up with eight wonderful training courts, the finest in the world. How do I know they're the finest in the world? We have had the coaches of the Japanese Olympic team there, for instance, and they've said, never have we seen anything like it. It's wonderful, except you don't have all of these other amenities to make it a true national volleyball center. So we've come back year after year trying to complete the center, and as Senator Senjum pointed out, it was done in the last year of Jesse Ventura's administration, and because of the problem that developed, Mr. Ventura vetoed, as many of you will recall, about $300 million worth of bonding bills that you had passed, including the National Volleyball Center completion. So all we're asking for is let's complete the project. It's a big, big economic winner for the state of Minnesota. We have an Olympic training program in the summer months for 1,500 to 1,800 young Minnesotans that come there that dream of someday being an Olympian, and they train in our centers. The University of Minnesota brings down their teams and their recruits for a two-week camp in the summer. We have other camps in the summer. The facility is 100% used between September and May. That's the school year, and the school kids are using the facility for dance line, for cheerleading, for practice of basketball, volleyball, because it is a dual, it goes both ways. But in the evening, it is 100% filled by community area people engaged in volleyball that pay the bills for us, $26 an hour on eight courts used all night, every night during the week. And on the weekends, we bring in major tournaments. Our classic tournament is the Rochester Cup. It's the finest volleyball tournament that we know of in the upper Midwest. We bring in teams from all over the United States. They come in there and participate in this major cup. We have a interesting event called the Roadkill Classic. It is probably one of our most profitable. We bring in teams from all over the upper Midwest, and these are adults that love to come to Minnesota and spend money, and I like to get that Iowa money, Wisconsin money into our state. And they come, and we have 100 or more teams come in for that. We have the NCAA Division III National Championships have been there. The National Junior College Championships have been there for the last 4 years. And we keep working this, but we're stifled by the fact that we didn't complete what should have been a fully completed and funded Olympic training facility. And we want to move in that direction, and we ask for your help for another time. Let's get it done. We just about had it done two or three times, as the senator pointed out. And it's a big, big tourism attraction for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Stewart, just looking at this and also hearing your comments, it looks as though this facility is also functioning as your high school gymnasium.
It is available to the high school by contract with the city of Rochester, and so the high school kids use it during the day for their programs. Then the city of Rochester takes over in the evening and has a full-time director there that then manages the volleyball aspect of it. But during the day, it's used for dance line, cheerleading, basketball, volleyball, badminton, whatever the school has going.
It's not the principal gym for the high school. It's not the principal gym for the high school.
Oh, no. It is not the principal gymnasium. This is a separate attached building to the high school. High school has its own gymnasium.
Thank you, Senator Mr. Olson. I appreciate that clarification, because I guess my concern is that if we were funding at the state level something that was being used as a high school gymnasium, when in my district, for example, we're losing sports programs for because of lack of funding in the school district, that becomes a little difficult to explain.
Mr. Stewart?
It's very, very similar to at St. Cloud, for instance. The National Hockey Center is at St. Cloud, and it's used certainly by the St. Cloud State University, as well as Olympic programs that they bring in. So our building is dual purpose, but it's really it's separately identified as a National Volleyball Center. It's attached to Century High School, and they furnished the land. They committed the land. We're hooked up to their air conditioning, heating systems, and so forth. But we do our own maintenance. We manage the building through the city of Rochester.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Senjum, and I can speak firsthand of this. Last Saturday, we were over there for a girls basketball tournament. In fact, there were teams from all over the state there, and it was so busy that we had to go to a nearby Schaefer Academy because it didn't even have enough places to stay. But I know a lot of those people from out of town were having a good time, and they're going to stay in Rochester. Further discussion on Senate File 549?
Mr. Chair, maybe just to offer, this has been through the legislative mix a number of years. We hope we can bring it back this year, and my sincere hope is that we can bring this one to a conclusion, finish the project, and go on to other things. So I would appreciate fully your support.
Senator Fischbach moves that Senate File 549 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the state and local...
The Committee on State and Local Government Finance has also requested to.
Okay. So now get this right, Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I'll try next time.
Senator Fischbach moves Senate File 549 be recommended to pass and be referred to the State and Local Government Budget Division. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The bill is passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Senator Coring.
Yes, sir. Chair's wrong here. The way it works. Where do you come up here?
Senator Coring, Senate File 584. Welcome to the committee.
Yes. Mr. Chairman and members, thank you for giving us the opportunity to testify on this very important bill. And if there's somebody here that could pass out, we've got a little folder here for all the members. Could pass those out. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to just make a few brief comments. What this is it's Uppsala, the city of Uppsala, which is in my district. But what we're proposing here is a regional community center, which would be serving meals and serving three different counties, Stearns County, Todd, and Morrison County, and would also be providing library service for that area. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to who wants to go first? Okay, we've got the mayor of Uppsala, Dan Okay. Got two Dans. I'm going to turn it over. Is it Hovland?
Hovland.
Dan Hovland's going to testify on this very important bill.
Welcome to the committee.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Senators. I'm Dan Hovland. I'm a member of the Upsala Community Development Center. Again, we're here to represent rural Minnesota, and we are so close to Lake Wobegon, we can almost hear their noon whistle, but not quite. Back in the 1960s, there was a couple of little old ladies in Upsala, Irene and Gladys, that had a that saw some needs for the community of Upsala, and they had a vision. And they felt that we needed a community center, and at that time, it was kind of a make-do attitude. What they did was they took an old cafe building and they got a lot of volunteer help, a lot of donated local donations, and they put together a building and they called it the Over 50 Center, and it opened in 1969, and that center became the hub of the community, particularly for the Over 50 group, but also for countless other groups, for meetings and gatherings. Eventually, the building next door was also purchased and connected. It wasn't the best design. There's a wall in between that kind of blocks off the vision when you have large groups. In 1977, the center began making meals for senior citizens in Upsala, Little Falls, Swanville, and Gray Eagle through the Meals on Wheels program. And what began as a small-time meal service providing program grew and grew and grew, and 30 years later, the Upsala Area Community Center food service program is now making between 300 and 400 meals a day, and that's usually 5 days a week. They are making meals for a three-county area, Morrison, Todd, and Stearns. The meals go to sites in Upsala, in Gray Eagle, in Long Prairie, and Little Falls. They go to the senior centers in those communities, senior housing developments, and the Todd County Detention Center. And there are also many meals that are delivered along the way at people at individual homes. Again, as I said, the building was an old building to begin with. It's not an ideal building for a community center. There are activities that take place down in the basement where there's very little lighting, poor lighting. There's some rickety stairs. The storage for the food service is down the basement. They have activities in the community center. There's games. There's rug weaving. There's pool. You know, some of those things take place down in this basement. So that, you know, what was begun 30 years ago is showing signs of need right now. In fact, they use the same kitchen that they used 30 years ago to prepare these meals, and that kitchen is not much bigger than many of your home kitchens, I would venture to say. In 2002, the Central Minnesota Initiative Foundation sponsored a community vision gathering, and there were 125 people that attended. And remember, this town of Upsala is a town of 424, so it shows you there's a strong commitment from the town and from the surrounding community. And they developed three goals at this community vision gathering, and the top goal was to develop a community comprehensive plan, and that has been done. The second goal was to bring at least two new businesses into Upsala, and that has been accomplished. We could use more businesses. But the third goal was to develop an enlarged community center. So at that time, it was shown to be an important issue, and that's why we're here. It's been 5 years that it's been up in the forefront in our area, and we have a task force that's been working over the last year. We've had representatives of the different entities involved, and the goal is to have a regional community service center with several entities, and the main one being the senior dining and program, a senior center, a community center for people to gather in. There's other organizations interested in having part. The Lions Club, the Legion Club would like meeting spaces, and they've shown their commitment. And there are other things being looked at, like the health services, funeral services, you know, rental spaces for banquets, things like that. There's different things that are being looked at. But one of the other main entities is the a branch library, a location for our branch library, which has been in Uppsala. And Wanda Erickson is a member of the Community Center Task Force, and she's also the librarian at the Great River Regional Library branch and at the Uppsala Area School. So I'm going to have Wanda speak a little bit about the library aspect.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hovland. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Erickson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Senators. I'm Wanda Erickson, and I am the branch manager at Great River Regional Library, Uppsala. Uppsala joined the regional library system in 1987, so we've been there almost 20 years. We opened our doors actually in 2008. In that time, we have seen a huge increase in our circulation. The first year that we began service out of our space, we really didn't know what to expect. That year, in our small community, as Dan mentioned, we have 424 people. We circulated approximately 25,000 items, which is a phenomenal amount for a town that small. This past year, we have increased that number even to about 31,500. The library is used; it is a social hub of the community. We service residents in a three-county area. Geographically, this involves the townships of Elmdale, Swan River, Swanville, Two Rivers in Morrison County, the cities of Bolas and Elmdale and Uppsala in Morrison County, and the townships of Holding, Crane, and Millwood in Stearns County, the cities of Holding, Ford, and St. Francis in Stearns County, the townships of Birchdale, Burningham, and Gray Eagle in Todd County. This branch, as you can see, is a community, a regional center for information exchange. In 2006, additionally, Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange partnered with Great River Regional Library, and we began sharing a transportation system. So the public library now cooperates with the school library in the delivery of information services to students in our school districts. We service the Holding Ford School District with that CMLE exchange, and we also service the students in Uppsala. As I mentioned, we need more space for our library. We haven't one lone internet station. And as you can imagine, for a population in a tri-county area like that, one internet station is just not enough. But we can't add more. We have no space. Presently, our library is situated in an 1,100-square-foot room in the building that is also housing SciTech, our local telephone cooperative. SciTech has been very gracious as a rentor. They are on a growth pattern, and they need that 1,100-square-foot space to provide more area for their own employees. They are hiring, they are growing, but they can't. Our library is in that space. But they have been gracious, as I said. They have not kicked us out. They know that there's no place for the library to go if they would kick us out. We need to have another space, and that space is in the new Tri-County Regional Services Center. Land has already been purchased by the city of Uppsala for this center. We have about $50,000 in hand. We expect to raise another $50,000 this year, and we know that this regional services center would impact 11 jobs that are in our small community. 11 jobs doesn't sound much to you, I'm sure. You've just heard proposals for $38 million and other kinds of things. It probably doesn't sound like much, but in a community the size of Uppsala, 11 jobs are a big thing. This is the backbone of any economic infrastructure, as you know, is one and two and 10-person shops. Doesn't take much for Ford to close down and you lose 13,000 jobs, but if our regional services center can help to maintain 11 and maybe even add more jobs, that would be a huge impact to our regional center. We would appreciate your partnership with us in providing for this center.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, we have the mayor here. Mr. Mayor, do you want to say something? Or okay. And Mr. Chairman, I would just say the power here behind the team is Representative Al Junkie's mother is sitting right over here. And yeah. So
Yeah, they did introduce
me. Oh, we did. Okay.
That's good.
So, anyway, we would stand for any questions, okay. Mr. Chairman, but as you can see, this is a very important economic development project that we certainly need and I believe this goes into Senator Fishbach's district, mm-hmm. and others. So,
good. Senator Coring, do you know, is the city able to match any of these dollars, the state dollars?
Well, you know what? I've told them that normally here at the legislature, it's always a 50% match, and they're well aware of that, and they would come up with whatever the legislature deems that we can afford to give them. They would be willing to come up with the match money somehow.
Okay. Also, Senator Coring, council may have a suggestion for you. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members online, 1.7, do you need pre-design and design money, or are you ready for the construction?
We do not probably need design or pre-design money. We have talked to local builders, a number of them. We've been at this for over a year, and we probably have a design in place.
Mr. Chairman, members, that could be part of your in-kind contribution then for the match.
That could be part of it, Mr. Chairman, correct? And the land, could be part of it too?
Yep. Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and then whatever money, other money, so, okay.
Okay. Good. Any further discussion? Oh, Senator Fishbach.
Mr. Chairman, and when appropriate, I would like to make the correct the correct motion to move it along. But I just wanted to say, you know, I was honored prior to redistricting to represent Upsala, yes. And still border the area there.
Oh, yeah.
When you talk about holding forward, and I've eaten at the center.
Yay!
Had lunch there way back when. But you know, this is, and I think, and as the chair asked about the money. As I was looking through, there's about $100,000 that you're already talking about. You
yep.
have $50,000 put together already, and are intending to at least fundraise another $50,000. So there's some money there too that they've already raised. But this is a wonderful, wonderful community, and really, when things like this come along, they really come together and do wonderful things for the area and for their community too. And so I am. Really sincerely do want to make this motion and okay. move it along and would do anything to help.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could just thank Senator Fishbach and just say that the blue folders that we passed out, there's a ton of information in there, and there's pictures and stuff, and it kind of gives you a better understanding. And, you know, if you're ever driving through Upsala and you want to stop and see it, you'll really have a better understanding of why this is a huge need. And, you know, we talk about, you know, it's just like we said before, you know, $38 million. This is only $500,000, and this is huge. Economic development for out and out state. And so I just hope you don't forget about us out and out state. We have needs too. And so I just thank the committee for your attention and for anything that you can do for us out state.
Great. Good job, Senator Coring, and to your witnesses too. To be consistent with what the chair, though, we'll have Senator Fishbach. What we'll do is lay this on the table for possible inclusion in the bonding.
Oh, it doesn't have to move along?
Okay. Not this one, no.
All right.
Okay, is that all right?
Yep.
Thank you, Ms. Senator Coring. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen, Senate File 397.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. It's truly a pleasure to be here again in front of you with a slightly larger appropriation than what you saw on Tuesday. But we're talking today about the Winnebago Avenue Sports Complex, and we're asking for $500,000 from a bond proceeds from deed that would be granted to the City of Fairmont. This has been in the works for 7 years, and it was actually in the 01 bonding bill, and Ventura vetoed several projects, and this was one of them. I have with me today Mike Humpel. He's our wonderful assistant city administrator, and he could go into further details about it. But I just want to say that, number one, the city has the matching funds. They have $500,000 they've been sitting on waiting for this complex to be finished. And we've had this discussion, whether it's been in this committee or capital investment, about tourism. You know, what is tourism? We always think that it goes north of the cities here. But actually, we do have a tourism push, and we do want to have a tourism push. And one of the areas of recreation for in greater Minnesota is their sports activity. And that's a huge part of not only one community, but all the surrounding communities. And it is an economic driver. So as I said, I'd like to introduce Mike Humpel, and he can go through basically what they're going to be doing with that appropriation.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thanks for having me today, and I'll try to be brief as kind of the last one there. And again, I'm Mike Humpel, Assistant City Administrator. We're the City of Fairmont, and if many of you probably know, we're in the south central part of the state. Our 30-mile regional area has about 35,000 people in it, and we are a regional hub for health care, jobs, recreation, and regional shopping. Our sports complex is going to do a few things. We have two old facilities, old ball facilities, and if you look back behind page 6, there's a pullout that shows what we will be doing, and then an aerial photo of the area to give you an idea of how that project lays. It'll be to reconfigure some old baseball fields with 4 new facilities, walking trail, inline skating. One of the real pushes of this project is that it'll be part of a neighborhood revitalization program. One of the keys to this, we've had over with the assistance of the Small Cities Development Program, we've put $750,000 into housing rehabilitation in this area. The city's put over $1.5 million in streets and infrastructure, in water and sewer infrastructure in the area. The sports complex will complement this revitalization area. It'll provide for a safe place for kids to recreate, and as Senator Rosen said, it will stimulate tourism in the community, hosting regional softball tournaments. It'll also complement many of the other activities we have in our community. 5 lakes, we recently constructed 8 soccer fields, an aquatic park, we have 2 18-hole golf courses, and bike and walking trails. So part of a tourism enhancement to complement the other things. Finally, the regional center, we're a regional center for job creation, and as you attract companies and people, they expect amenities like this, and so we believe this will help both our economic development, recruitment, and retention program. If, as Senator pointed out, if we turn to page 6, that outlines how we plan to pay for the project, and as you might well expect, as we go on through the years, 6 or 7 years now, the project continues to increase. But we set aside $500,000 in funding back then from proceeds from our municipal liquor store. We have those monies set aside in reserve and are ready to move forward with this project. Your assistance in paying for just under 50% of this project would be greatly appreciated. And I'll answer any questions that Chairman or members might have.
Thank you for your testimony. Senator Rosen, council has a suggestion. Do you have a bill with you?
Yes.
We'll get you a copy. On line 1.9, after the word complex, insert servicing South Central Minnesota.
Define the region.
Would you define the region? Would be the reason for that?
Thank you for that suggestion, Council.
Okay, members, let's Senator Saxhog moves it on line 1.9. After the word complex, we add servicing South Central Minnesota. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Jensen.
Further discussion on Senate File 397. Seeing none, then what the Chair has been doing in the past, Senator Rosen, just laying the bills on table for recommendation to the Bonding Committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. That's it. Kat, the next meeting?
Mr. Chair and members, we will be continue to hear bills, and next week we'll start with some appropriations bills on Monday and Wednesday, and I believe we will, Senator Sparks, your Senate File 167, which was originally scheduled for today, I believe that will be rescheduled for Monday's hearing.
Great. Thank you very much, members. Meeting adjourned.